This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Senator Kerry earlier today called the White House and conceded the election and congratulated President Bush on his victory, on his reelection. Senator Kerry is expected to make a statement to his supporters in Boston. Originally, we thought it was going to be about 1 o'clock Eastern time, about 20 minutes from now. We're now advised it may be a little bit late. But anyway, stay tuned to this NPR News station, and we'll bring you live coverage of that event when it begins. In the meantime, we're continuing to analyze the results of yesterday's election, and we'll be taking your calls as well. If you're a Bush supporter, our number is 800-344-3893. Kerry supporters, 800-344-3864. And joining us here in Studio 3A is NPR's Julie Rovner. She's been looking at the results of the congressional races from yesterday's election, and a very good day for the Republicans in both the House and the Senate, Julie.
Yes, absolutely. The Republicans will consolidate and grow their majorities in both chambers. It's not entirely clear the exact numbers yet. It looks like at this point it will probably be an addition of 4 in both the House and the Senate. So that'll make the Senate majority probably 55. They were at 51. And the House majority, which was a majority of 12, will go probably to a majority of 16. So still relatively small margins, but this is the first time that, particularly in the House, that the Republicans have managed to add to their majorities for two consecutive cycles.
Well, let's stay at the House of Representatives for just a moment. A key issue for the Republicans was the redistricting effort that they managed to get through in Texas. How important was that?
It was critical to what they picked up. What happened in Texas is they did a second redistricting after the Republicans took over the legislature. This came really at the leadership of House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who led this effort. They got it through. It's been contested. It's still under some court discussion. But the result of that, they redrew the districts to favor Republicans. They ousted 4 Democratic incumbents. That's the most we've seen in quite some time. Max Sandlin, Nick Lampson, Charlie Stenholm, Martin Frost. Martin Frost had been a member of the Democratic leadership, and that was a key to the pickups that they had because they lost a couple of seats elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. The day, some people have said, of the white Democratic member of Congress from Texas is over.
That certainly would seem to be the case. Most of the Democrats left in Texas, and there are a fair number of districts. I think it's 11 that will still be represented by Democrats, but they're mostly African-American and Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Moving now to the United States Senate, where there were some very interesting and very close races. I guess the one most recently decided was in Florida.
Yes, in Florida, Betty Castor, who had the Democrat, who'd been the education superintendent, has just conceded to Mel Martinez, who will be the first Cuban-American senator. He was President Bush's Housing and Urban Development Secretary before he left to run for the Senate. This was a Democratic seat held by Bob Graham, so this is a pickup. It actually completed a 5-state sweep of the South for the Republicans, where Democrats, some of them some long-serving conservative Democrats, had opted not to run again.
Fritz Hollings among them, and of course, in North Carolina, John Edwards, who ran for vice president, resigned his seat, and Erskine Bowles, the former chief of staff to President Clinton, has now run twice in 2 years, and lost to Elizabeth Dole last time around, and this time around he lost again.
He lost again to Richard Burr, a House member who was trailing through most of the race. And I think one of the keys to his win was a tobacco buyout that Congress voted just in the last couple of weeks. This had been quite a contentious issue. The Democrats and some Republicans, particularly in the Senate, wanted to pair it with allowing the Food and Drug Administration to regulate tobacco products. If we're going to help the tobacco farmers, we should also do something about stopping smoking. In the end, the FDA part of it was dropped, so just the tobacco buyout got through, and that's considered key to Burr's win in North Carolina.
Another perhaps surprisingly close race in Kentucky. The incumbent was Jim Bunning, the longtime member of Congress and I guess one-term senator, a member of baseball's Hall of Fame, of course, author of A Perfect Game in the National League. But he all of a sudden at the end stumbled and it became a very tight race.
It did become a very tight race. He made some sort of intemperate remarks about his Democratic opponent, a doctor, Majority. And actually, there were a couple of debates. He refused to debate in person. He insisted on debating from the Senate studio. There was some question about whether he was getting some help.
A teleprompter, which was supposed to be against the rules.
That's right. And indeed, that race tightened very much. And in fact, Bunning was trailing through much of the evening. He finally eked it out.
Mm-hmm. There are another race still in Alaska that has yet to be decided. I think Lisa Murkowski, who was appointed to fill the seat of her father, by her father, who is now Alaska's governor. She believes she will hang on and win. Tony Knowles, the former governor of Alaska, the Democrat, says, well, absentee provisional ballots, he may yet pull it out.
This was another place the Democrats really thought they had a shot. Lisa Murkowski was not very popular just because of the way she came to the seat, having been appointed by her father. In fact, most of her signs didn't even have her last name. They talked about her as Senator Lisa. So she was trying to play that down. Tony Knowles, a very popular governor of the state. In the end, again, it hasn't been called, but she is certainly leading by what looks like a substantial enough margin.
And the most stinging defeat of the day for the Democratic Party had to be in South Dakota.
Absolutely. This was a landslide for John Thune, who was a House member 2 years ago when he ran against the other Democratic senator from South Dakota, Tim Johnson, and lost by 300 and some odd votes. This time, he actually defeated Daschle by several thousand votes. So this was a huge margin of a percent or two. And certainly, Daschle had been at the top of the Republicans' hit list from the beginning. He was a Democratic leader. South Dakota has been a fairly strongly Republican state, certainly in presidential elections. Although, interestingly, the freshman Democratic Congresswoman, Stephanie Herseth, and South Dakota has only one member of Congress, was reelected.
And there is, I guess, one other race that we should mention, the race where an African-American was going to be elected to the United States Senate, and that was in the state of Illinois.
Indeed. This is one of the few things that Democrats can smile about. This was a Republican seat, Peter Fitzgerald, although he was a fairly moderate Republican. He opted not to run again. State Senator Barack Obama, who was the keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention and is considered to be a rising star in the party. The Republican candidate had some problems, dropped out. They ultimately recruited Alan Keyes, who had run for president, who's actually from Maryland, who moved to Illinois, and Obama didn't have very much trouble defeating Keyes, he'll be coming to Washington.
Did we mention Colorado, Ken Salazar?
I'm not sure we did mention Colorado. That was the other Democratic pickup, the state attorney general, Ken Salazar, who beat beer magnate Pete Coors, a political neophyte, although that was a fairly close race because, again, Colorado is a more Republican than Democratic state.
Now, what does the alignment look like now in the United States Senate? Going in, it was 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats, one independent.
Right. Now, it looks like it's going to be, depending on the outcome of Alaska, it looks like it's going to be 55 Republicans. Again, if Knowles somehow pulls it out, it would be 54. But it seems that it will be 55. That's the same number that the Republicans had in 1996 and 1998. So it's not an unprecedented majority for the Republicans. It is not, I might add, 60 votes, which is what they need to cut off debate and get through some of these controversial things. And I would think that really with the departure of some of these fairly conservative Democrats, people like certainly Zell Miller from Georgia and John Breaux from Louisiana, it may be easier for the Democrats to consolidate their, albeit smaller, minority.
Louisiana, we had expected a runoff in Louisiana. They have peculiar, individual, unique rules in Louisiana, where if no candidate gets 50% plus one in the general election, there's a runoff a month later. But the Republican, Mr. Vitale, did pull it out yesterday.
David Vitter. He was a congressman, and he was indeed, he was expected to lead. He was not expected to get a majority. He will be the first Republican senator from the state of Louisiana since Reconstruction.
So. Mm-hmm. Let's get some more listeners on the line. Our number again for Bush supporters, 800-344-3893. Kerry supporters, 800-344-3864. David joins us on the Democratic line from Concord, North Carolina.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to comment. First, I voted for Kerry because the Democrats are for the working people. You can call a CEO working people also, but I'm talking about the lower wage people. That's who they were traditionally for. And I don't like the Patriot Act. I feel like that's a slap in the face to the Fourth Amendment. I'd like to comment on the small-mindedness of some of the voter electorate in say, let's say Georgia. Let's say Zell Miller is like a druid, and he drives a stake in the ground and puts a NRA up there, and everybody votes for the NRA what their position is. They don't have enough sense to figure out that the Second Amendment is already there. Let's take West Virginia. They told them that the Democrats were going to take up their Bibles. That is plain ridiculous. How could the Democrat Party take up people's Bibles? The First Amendment was put in to separate influence of church-owned government and the government having influence over the church. That's very plain. All we hear is a religious right and more than often the Christian coalition. Well, where is the Islamic coalition? Our First Amendment does not specify just Christianity.
David, I think we get the drift of your point of view, and wanted to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I just wanted to mention Julie Rovner, that the senators elected, the Republican senators elected yesterday in South Carolina and Oklahoma. Very right-wing, right-wing of the president. This is going to present the issue of abortion in a new way in the United States Senate.
Yes, I think it will. They were both congressmen, so we know pretty much where they stand on a lot of these issues. Congressman Jim DeMint, now the senator-elect from South Carolina. Dr. Tom Coburn, actually, who was the former, who served his three terms in the House and then stepped down. And they are indeed, not just on social issues are they to the right of the president, on fiscal issues they're to the right of the president, too, which may, the deficit may become a very divisive issue for the Republicans in this coming Congress.
Let's get another call. This on the Republican line from Natalie in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, I'm in Kentucky and voted on the Bunning Mongiardo race. And one of the issues that was kind of a galvanizing factor for my vote there, I did end up supporting Bunning, although I did have some qualms about that, was knowing that the Supreme Court balance of power is going to probably come into question during that Senate term. And that was another particularly strong issue for me with my presidential vote as well, because presidents and senators come and go a lot more frequently than Supreme Court justices do.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Natalie. I think you've identified an issue that is important to a lot of people. Some experts say as many as four Supreme Court justices may be retiring in the next 4 years, and the appointments, of course, have to be approved by the United States Senate, so that proved to be a factor.